Hebrews 11:24. Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. And then Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 5 and 7. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 5 and 7. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. Today, I want to talk about clear vision. And I hope that this is not just a mere exercise in head knowledge, because this is something that your heart needs today. There is not a person in this room who does not need this. Because let me begin where I need to begin, and that is for many of you, if we were to be honest with ourselves, first of all, we are not where we once were spiritually. Our hearts are not in a place where they once were overflowing with Jesus Christ. We are not seeing the kind of daily communion with God and the experience of His presence. And it's reached the point for some of us, maybe many of us, where we justify that. There's a process you go through. When you first lose that, you grieve over it. And then the grieving becomes uncomfortable. And you begin to tolerate that. And then you work through to the stage where you come up with a theology to explain that and justify it. I want you to look again at Deuteronomy 34:7. Moses was 120 years old, and his eyes had not dimmed. That's not a statement. That is not a statement about his physical prowess. We're going to look in Hebrews. The vision that mattered for Moses, what he saw wasn't that he saw with these eyes, it was that he saw him who is invisible. That's what hadn't dimmed. That's what hadn't gone away. 120 years old, and he hadn't lost that. Anybody here 120 years old? Anybody here feel it? Here's the first thing that we need to acknowledge. Remember, every word in the Bible was written for our admonition, to admonish us, to take us and let us see realities that we don't experience. We're always saying, well, that's not how I see it. The Word of God was given not so that we can go, oh, that's nice for them. It's so that we can judge our own experience by the hallmarks of God's Word. And here's what it says. Moses was 120 and his eyes were dim. Now here's the first thing we need to understand about that. Number one, there is no reason for our eyes to dim. It is possible for our eyes to be undimmed. If it wasn't possible, Moses couldn't have done it, could he? Yes or no? Okay, here's number two. Who had more, Moses or us? Who has more, Moses or us? Did Moses have the Word of God? He had five books. He's got the whole thing. Did he have the Holy Spirit the way the Holy Spirit has been promised in this day? The least in the kingdom, Jesus said, is greatest, is greater than the greatest of that of the old covenant. Look at what it says. I want you to see this. Look with me at 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. Here's the reality we should seek to live to. Does God give us promises so that we can go, oh, I don't have that and feel bad? Or does God give us promises to claim by faith? Which does God do? Does God just dangle? Remember in the old days there were the horses? Keep the horse moving. You know what they do? They'd put a carrot on a stick attached to the back of the horse, hanging down on a string right in front of its face. And that horse had walked forward to get that carrot. And no matter how far the horse walked, that carrot just always was one step in front of it. We have to ask ourselves honestly, is God simply doing that? Or does God give promises? Here's the promise. It says now. I'm in 2 Corinthians 3:7. If the ministry that brought death, what was the ministry that brought death? What was the ministry that brought death? The law. Moses' law. Which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was. Will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men, what does the law ultimately do? It condemns us, doesn't it? Our problem isn't that the law is imperfect. Our problem is the law shows us we're imperfect. And the law may tell us what we should do. It shows us what God is, but it doesn't do anything to what? Help us do it. If the ministry of the Spirit be glorious, if the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now compared in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if that was fading away, came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. You know one of the biggest problems in our lives and in the church in general is today? It's a lack of boldness. I was talking with a Christian last night, and he said, "Boy, I didn't believe that they would let them bring in a Christian thing like that into the stadium like this, or whatever you call those things." We've lost all boldness. We've lost the boldness to say, "I'm going to take a school for Jesus Christ." Or a neighborhood. Do you know the Pentecostals make this big deal about, and I know we're going down some rabbit trails here, but bear with me. Make a big deal about being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues. And they go back to the book of Acts, you know, they were filled with the Spirit and spoke with other tongues. That occurs twice in the book of Acts. Do you know what occurs over and over again in the book of Acts? The connection that's made between two things, being filled with the Spirit, and the other is fullness. Fullness of the Spirit gives us boldness. I remember reading the story long ago of a pastor. It was at a prayer meeting. And the Holy Spirit came down, and he was filled with boldness. And he knew that there was a dance being held at a dance hall that was overflowing with young people. And he walked out of the prayer meeting, he walked into the dance hall. And the person said, "Where's your ticket?" And he held his Bible in front of him and said, "It's the only ticket I'll ever need." Such was his boldness and power in the Spirit. The bouncer at the door just stepped out of his way. He walked straight to the stage where they were singing, and he stood on the stage staring them down. Till silence reigned. And he turned to the young girl that was singing, and he said, "Young lady, you're wasting your voice. Singing for the devil allurements to drag these people to hell. And now you're going to lift your voice up for the Lord. And he started singing a hymn and he told her to join in. Every one of those young people walked out of that dance hall and down to the church to hear the Word of God. Boldness. We look at that today and go, oh, we couldn't do that. Notice what it says. We have great boldness. Now, if we don't have great boldness today, then obviously we don't have that hope. We've lost the hope. Now, let me say why we've lost the hope. We've lost the hope because we didn't get what we thought we would get as soon as we thought we would get it. You know how many times I hear people saying, and not just here, I hear people saying everywhere, that are honestly seeking. Now, there aren't a lot of them, but if you really pin some people down and get through all the falderal and garbage and lies that we tell ourselves, will say, you know, I just don't see it happening. Now, I want you to think about something. Did Moses, in this life, his first time around, because Moses, unlike many, unlike the vast majority, Moses is that exception to the law. You know, the Bible says this is appointed unto men once to die. Do you realize Moses, that isn't going to be true for him? He's going to have to die twice. But the first time around, did Moses see what he had hoped to see? He never made it to the promised land. He spent 40 years in the desert squeezing sand between his toes. And 40 more years listening to the yammering of millions of his fellow Jews. And he never made it into the promised land. But I want you to notice what it says. Did Moses say, well, God, you know, I think you've really failed me. Or was his eye undimmed? Notice what it said in Hebrews. Don't turn away from 2 Corinthians because we're going to be back. But notice what it says in Hebrews 11. Keep right in 2 Corinthians because we'll be right back. Notice what it says. Look at what it says. Verse 27. By faith he left Egypt. Hebrews 11:27. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. Do you know how the NIV, NASB translates that, the New American Standard? He endured. He endured. That's why he was 120 and his eyes weren't dimmed. We get worn down. Now, first of all, how long was Moses supposed to stay in the desert? God didn't take him the straight way because he said, you can't face the Philistines yet. You're not up to that challenge. So I'm going to take you the long way. But even the long way, 3 months, and they should have been there. Moses spent 40 years walking in circles because of the sins of the other people. And see, here's the second thing. Moses never gave up on the people of God. Here's what one of the great sins in the church is today among those who care is the church is just going in circles. You know what Moses did? He trusted God and went in circles with them. He didn't give up on them. Moses didn't say, you know, you guys take 40 years. I'm going straight to the promised land. God said, go to the promised land. I'm on my way. Guess who got to appear before Jesus in a glorified body? Read it, Matthew 17. Moses. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Therefore, verse 12, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. Moses, as great as he was ashamed that the radiance was leaving him. Paul says, we're not like that. Now, if Moses had the privilege of 120 years and his eyes weren't dim, he could still see eternal issues with absolute clarity. Paul says we should have more. We're not like him. We've got something better. But their minds were made dull. Isn't that a description of what Satan constantly tries to do? And undoubtedly, you are feeling the effects of it. The more you look at the things of this world, the duller your mind becomes. I've often wondered, and back in the days when we had good-sized youth group, and some of them were really excited about Christ, I always wondered what was the difference that they didn't really break through the way I experienced when I was a kid. And you know, as I've pondered that through the years, I've reached a conclusion, at least in my own mind. I don't know that it's the be-all and end-all, but it satisfied me. But here's what was missing. They didn't set their whole lives up so that everything revolved around the things of Jesus. There was always something else. That when there was a conflict of interest, that thing won out. Wrestling. Band. Activities. And what made our youth group so special was everything else was put on hold. Now, we'll join that, but you have to understand, if God's doing something, we're not going to be there. Because that's the only thing that keeps your mind from being dull. And my experience is that as soon as we begin to drop away from Christ a little bit, things come in to replace Him, and they become the excuse that keeps God from coming back into our life. Because, you know, I've got that commitment to this activity that now I have entered my life. If you see a new person get really radically saved, they dump all the activities in their life. You experience that? Because they want all their attention to be focused on Jesus. And you try to tempt them with something from their old life, and they laugh at you. But as soon as we begin to drop away, those other things come in, those activities. And we begin to invest our money and our time, and then, well, I can't miss that because I've paid for it, or, you know, I've already signed up, or and it becomes the excuse. And then quickly the day comes when we don't even need that excuse, because now we've become so saturated with thinking about the things of this world that we don't even need the excuse to keep us away. See, that's what it says. Their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. Oh, but when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You see, here's what God's saying. When you really turn to Him, well, you say, well, I've turned to Him and it still seems to be dull. Okay. Then one of two things is true. Either number one, the Word of God is a lie. Or number two, you haven't turned enough. It's got to be one of those two, right? Someone asked me about last night. The only criticism I have about Craig's message last night is, I don't think that he really pushed enough. He pushed, but not enough about how much you need to turn. He discussed it. But in this culture, the great sin is syncretism. Add Jesus on to everything else. Paul never said, I can be a great Pharisee and a great follower of Christ, did he? What does he say? When I came to Christ, whatever I counted gain for myself, I now counted as gone. Verse 17, now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Here it is. Here's the promise. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. That's the calling that we have. Sometimes I read that and I go, oh God. But you know what? That isn't how we should read that. We should read that and say, oh God. If you said it, you will do it. If I'm holding you back, all I've got to do is find out how I'm holding you back. Because if you said all, we who with unveiled faces, a few of us, is that what it says? All, reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now, look at the next verse. Forget about that big four, or if you have a study Bible, that little heading, because that isn't there. That's what man's doing, cutting up the Word of God. Look right into the next verse, because here, therefore. Now, that therefore says that this is still the same idea. This is the conclusion. This isn't a new thought. This is where I'm going with this. Therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry, and we could spend a month, couldn't we, on God's mercy. Since through God's mercy. Can I give you just a little clue as to one of the things that causes you to stumble, causes me to stumble. When we come to Christ, if we genuinely are saved, we see our sin for the first time in its stark ugliness. But you know, one of the things that happens if we walk with the Lord is He begins to clean us off. And really quickly, we begin to really begin to look at ourselves and, you know, go, boy, I'm pretty clean. And it's a tiny, tiny little step from that to, I'm earning this now. I needed God's mercy, but you know, look at me, I'm doing good on my own. Paul says, no, we have this ministry through God's mercy. You and I will never, ever, 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 ever earn anything that God has done. And it's one more small step. Once we get to the place where we're going, you know, God, I'm really getting some chits in heaven with from you. It's a real small step to go, unlike those other people that aren't up to my standard. Real small step. Since through God's mercy we have this ministry, notice what it says, we do not. Isn't that the temptation you're feeling right now, to lose heart? Isn't that the temptation Moses felt? Do you think Moses didn't want to lose heart? I mean, you think you've got it bad because you've got someone in your house that's always in your face about Jesus, or you think that you've got it bad because the people at work are down. Moses had 3 million of them. And they should have known better, but never did. And you know what? You think that people just don't listen to you? Think about Moses. You know, if at the end of Deuteronomy they were any better than they were at the beginning of Exodus, you'd go, at least we're making progress. But you read through Deuteronomy and they hadn't made a bit of progress. You know what? Moses still had clear eyes. Moses still had clear eyes. That didn't interfere with his vision. Why? I'm going to talk next week. This is all introduction, folks. Sorry. But I want us to look at one more verse. One more verse. I want you to see how, remember what it says, Moses never lost his vision never dimmed. We looked at Hebrews 11:27. Let's go back and just look at that one more time. Here it is, Hebrews 11:27. Here's how God gives commentary on Moses' life. He says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. You see, that's what that eyes not dimmed was all about. He never took his eyes off of Jesus. He never stopped looking at Jesus to look at what's around him. Now, when I use the word never, that doesn't mean there weren't exceptions. There were. We know there were. One of the big ones was when? You know what happened when he struck the rock? He stopped looking at the rock and he started looking right up at Jesus again. Now I want you to look back earlier at Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews, I've heard Hebrews chapter 11 called the Heroes of Faith. I don't like that title of the chapter. Do you know why? Do you know what's wrong with that? That makes it sound like they're the exceptions and I don't have to be like them. Well, and I don't know how many times I've heard people, well, it's not like I'm like Moses or something. They're written there for us to do exactly that, to be like Moses or Paul or Peter. They're not our heroes. They're our example. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 14. He's been laying out what it is that he's trying to say in this whole chapter. And here's what he says in verse 14. People who say. Now, what does that mean when he uses that phrase, people who say? Is he just talking about Abraham or about Moses? Or is he talking about anyone? Is he talking about you? Is he talking about me? Yes, he is. All of us. People who say such things, what? That they're aliens and strangers in this world. Anybody here ever stayed in a tent for a reasonable amount of time? Days? Now, I want you to picture if you had to live in a tent 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the rest of your life. How much of the stuff that you have would you have? I'm a pack rat. I don't throw stuff away. Mostly books. I have books and papers and articles and stuff piled. The thing I love about the computer is I can download a bunch of them, and it's just that little box. But you know, I have stuff piled everywhere. And if you go in my office, you go at home, I just have books piled everywhere, you know, on top of each other. You know, if I lived in a physical tent, I don't know how many books I'd have. They said that they were only aliens and strangers. People who say such things show that they are looking. Notice the word, looking. For a country of their own. Verse 16 says they are longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Here's where I want to end today. Have you lost your eye for that heavenly country? So easy to do. Miracles won't keep you looking at the heavenly country. If it had, the Jews that came out of Egypt would have never lost sight of that heavenly country, would they? Would they? Has anyone in the history of the world ever seen more miracles done in such a short amount of time as those people at the Exodus? Miracles won't keep you looking at the heavenly country. That's the lie of the faith people that run around saying, oh, you need to see a miracle every 3 weeks. Seeing miracles won't keep your eyes on the heavenly country. Let me give you a second one. Hearing God's voice alone won't do it. Did the Israelites hear God's voice? Did they come to the mountain and did they hear God speak? And what did they do? What did they do? They ran away. They ran away. They said, oh, don't talk to us anymore. The longing of our heart, that's what will determine what our eyes are. And you know, that's why those little desires are so deadly. Remember what Jesus told in the parable of the four soils? He said, but the desires for other things creep in. Because you see, the desires for other things take away the longing of my heart for that other country. And when my longing disappears, my eyes begin to move. And I begin to see other things and not look where I need to be looking. But Moses, he held on for 120 years. His eyes never dimmed. You know what? Yours don't need to either. You think it was automatic for Moses? No, I don't think that for a second. I think all the things we see about Moses' life is the only way that his eyes never dimmed. I think all those times he spent in the tent of meeting. Remember what it says about the tent of meeting? Moses never would have held on, just like the other people didn't. They never went to the tent of meeting. They stayed in their own house. They stood at the door of their temple. I'm worshiping the Lord. Moses went to the... I'm not saying it's automatic, but I am saying it's possible. I'm not saying it's easy. I don't know that I'd like to trade places with Moses, would you? Moses had a pretty hard life. I don't think Moses had it easy at all. I'm not saying it's easy, but I am saying it's possible. Now, here's the question today. You may have some study notes in your Bible. You may have some verses written down. And you may go home and go, okay, yep, good sermon, bad sermon, oh, that sermon made me so agitated, or that was a great sermon, preacher, I don't know. But that won't do you any good at all. But this one thing will. If you walk out of the door today saying, you know what, if Moses did it, so will I. I'm not going to settle for dim eyes. I'm not going to settle for seeing God at a distance. I'm not going to settle for having my heart cool. If Moses could do it for 120 years, I can do it for the next 30 or 40. Or even 60 or 70. If Moses could do it, there's no reason under heaven to stop me from doing it too. Here's the thing. Are you willing to make that step of faith today? No matter what it costs you. Are you willing to really turn your gaze towards heaven and fix it there? You may not have time to look at the things of this world the way you do. May have to give up some of the things of this world, maybe many of them. I'm not just talking about things, I'm talking about attitudes, worries, fears, concerns. Things that fill your heart. Martha was running around like a chicken with her head cut off. And what did Jesus say? Good job, Martha. Hard worker. Boy, I wish I had more Marthas. Is that what Jesus said? Martha, Martha. I'll have to study that. That may be the only time in the Bible that God speaks to a woman twice. He speaks to men twice all the time. Abraham, Abraham, Moses, Moses. He spoke to Martha. Martha, Martha. I have to look that up. That may not be true, but that means she was acting like a man? Maybe. He was running around. Martha, Martha, one thing is necessary. Mary's got it. She knows where to be. She knows what to do. Let's bow together, Lord. I pray for every person here today because, Lord, we need this message. There are some of us that at one time were just there's no other way to describe it but filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, just like those people in the book of Acts, we leak. We can never have enough. Lord, I know in the days of my life when I have been so full, I've said to my heart, oh God, I never want this to leave, but I always leak. And we've leaked, Lord. Lord, we need to come back. We need to have the hope that it's possible. We don't have to give up. We don't have to, as someone said a couple of weeks ago here, oh, I just feel like I'm always failing. We don't have to live like that. Oh God, lift our eyes. Let us see eternity clearly. Give us the courage to clean out our lives of everything that keeps us from focusing on that. In Jesus' name, amen.